Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you. Also, John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well.
I'm hungry.
Well, two of us doing well and a hungry, hungry boy today. That's we're still doing better than many.
Good morning,
this
Jeff.
This is true.
Good morning. And I just want to give everyone a heads up right now. Tomorrow, which is Thursday, November 26th, is the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. We will not be recording a show tomorrow or on Friday. So we'll be back again on Monday after a long holiday weekend and probably with pants that are a size larger, except for me, because I just won't be wearing any. And just picture that, people. Okay.
Until Monday.
Until Monday. All right. So I thought that we could start off today with just kind of looking at a purchase that Apple has apparently made. And it's a company called Face Shift. And if you're not familiar with them, well, that means that you haven't been watching the news about Star Wars The Force Awakens. This is the company that provided a lot of the technology that they needed for the facial recognition and facial tracking that they use for some of the effects in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing there, the facial tracking and facial recognition. So Apple has apparently bought the company, and they aren't seeing what they're going to do with it, but I think we might be able to put some of the pieces together by looking at other purchases they made.
Mm-hmm.
So, starting back in 2013, we know that Apple bought a company that, what is the name? PrimeSense.
PrimeSense.
And that company does motion tracking. Mm-hmm. And then earlier this year, they bought an augmented reality company called Mateo. And then they also hired away the engineer, his name's Nick Thompson, from Microsoft, that was in charge of the HoloLens audio hardware.
Ooh, nice catch.
Yeah. Why, thank you.
This is an interesting stack of things, I think. And whichever way you assemble them, it's like a fundamental shift in, I think, in interacting with technology, whatever that entails. And I am really excited to see what it is, because whatever it is, Apple is pretty fearless about hauling off in a new direction. And even if it's not necessarily the direction that is useful to me in some way, it's still really interesting to watch. And so I'm very curious what the outcome of all of these things is going to be. And particularly if you think about it, you know, when people talk about like smart cars, like if you add that into the mix, you know, the Tesla folks hanging out with Nick Thompson and, you know, now getting to have lunch with all these people from Mateo and PrimeSense, this seems like a really interesting option. And maybe this is the thing that we've been hearing about for all this time from Steve Jobs' book with Walter Isaacson about how they cracked TV. That's another way that this could go. And whatever it is, I can't wait to see it, even if it's not something that I end up buying or that I even end up using like at zero day. Whatever this is going to end up being is going to be terribly interesting from a human technology relationship perspective.
You just tickled my fancy there for a second, Kelly, because we were thinking about games, we were thinking about augmented reality, we were thinking about, you know, facial recognition, perhaps logons. But how would this fit in with the car?
Well, it would behoove a car with some sort of intelligence built in to be able to track motion, which was what the PrimeSense technology did.
Yeah. Identify pedestrians.
Yeah. Augmented reality would give you a good heads-up display on the windshield in your car.
Yes.
And
under all weather conditions.
Right. And the audio hardware could maybe be used to be listening for things outside, like sirens or like horns from other cars indicating some sort of problem.
Or even the words that you're saying.
Right. It could be listening to you the way your phone does now. Hey, Siri, text somebody the thing about the stuff. And my phone is actually going to try to do that now.
Isn't that awesome? That's a
beautiful thing. It was until it turned out that she's not going to be able to do it because nobody in my phone is named somebody.
And until Apple has an autonomous car, we think the first stage will be an electric car that's driven conventionally.
Uh-huh.
And this augmented reality, facial recognition, all this technology might be used to determine whether you're trying to text and drive at the same time, too.
Well, it could be used for all sorts of things. I don't presume this to be for an autonomous car. I think that virtually all of this is stuff that would be useful in a car that I am driving.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, having that heads up display, having something tracking motion to alert me to other things, you know, there's a car, like I see, you know, your blinker just went on and I can tell that there's a car wailing up the far left lane. Maybe you should hang out here for a second. That kind of stuff would be unbelievably useful, I think. And, you know, even it, like I said, even in a car that I am operating before you get to the completely autonomous stuff, you know, the ground drones or whatever we want to call them.
Ground drones. I love it.
So whatever this is going to end up being, like, I can assemble these pieces in a bunch of ways. And all of those ways are very cool to me as a spectator. So I can't wait to see what they actually turn out to be.
Yeah, it always turns out to be something we don't suspect. You know, we read the first level into it, and we look at what the company has been doing before, and then we let our imaginations go wild, and we fold in a couple teaspoons of science fiction, and we think we know what they're doing. And like we just talked about with the car, it may be something completely different.
And to me, that's the best part, is that this is hopefully one of those things where we can be surprised. And that's what I really miss about sort of the old days of Apple, is being surprised when somebody walks out on stage with a thing and having no idea what that thing is going to be. What is it that they're going to tell us about today? What is the new hotness that I don't know anything about yet? What am I going to hear? And in the old days, before everybody was so hot to tell rumor sites what Apple was up to, it was really fun to speculate on that stuff because you didn't have other people declaring it and saying that someone at Apple had confirmed whatever it was. And so I really enjoy the surprise of that. And the things like this where we get to sort of speculate and then have it come completely out of left field, you know, it's going to turn out to be some new technology in iOS 10 that makes it so that it's tracking the motion of your eyeballs and all you have to do is look at the icon in order to launch the app, you know, whatever.
I'd be in for that.
Well, I was reading an article yesterday.
I'm making things up and I'm blowing Jeff's mind.
I was reading an article yesterday about Google, an aborted project where somebody got enthusiastic about the comm badge in Star Trek, where you touch the comm badge and now you're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And they wanted to try to duplicate that, but the project got aborted. And I think that's the difference between Google and Apple. I get the sense that this procurement of these companies is in search of solutions to a problem that Apple wants to solve. And it's a small
sense.
Piece of an integrated and contributory way to solve a problem that Apple wants to solve. And so they need to acquire this technology and then develop it the way they do, as opposed to saying, let's ship a comm badge. That's so cool. People will love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John. So you have talked about how robotics should be an area that Apple gets into. Do you think this could be playing into that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't get the feeling that from the rumors and leaks and things like that Apple's heavily into standalone personal consumer robots. But I did a couple weeks ago present the theory that maybe some of these companies are rushing into it too quickly. I won't mention the name Google, but to be polite. But
I will.
Okay.
Google rushed in too quickly.
There's legal issues, there's safety issues, there's all sorts of other social issues related to robots that we have to work out over the next 50 years. And I think that my theory is that Apple's using the autonomous car, first the electric car, and then the autonomous car as technical stepping stones to learning how to build personal robots. Because after all, an autonomous car is simply a robot with wheels that you ride inside of.
Yes, that is true.
Right. Mm-hmm. So before Apple starts having robots doing dishes and running family errands and doing babysitting, the technology has to be really highly developed. And an autonomous car is a good way to do that before you rush headlong into Asimo-type Honda robots that are family robots. So I think that's what Apple's up to.
See, so I would argue the opposite. I would much rather have a robot go off the rails while washing dishes than while I'm inside going 70 miles an hour.
Well, that's true, but the human interactions and family life, especially around children, and the strength of and the mobility of and the intelligence of a personal robot have so many technical and cultural scary points that if you get into a car that just follows the road and you know can apply the brakes. There was that famous video post a couple weeks ago about a guy in a Tesla S driving in the dark at night in the rain in Seattle. And the autopilot saw an oncoming head-on collision with a guy turning in front of him and brought the Tesla to a halt. And his camera in the car got it all on video and it went viral on the internet. You know, I think we can solve those kinds of technical problems, even though we're going 70 miles an hour. Computers and radar. I mean, you know, pilots fly 700 knots, 50 feet above sea level to stay below radars and talk on the radio at the same time. So I think we can develop the technology to, you know, keep cars from crashing at high speeds by being aware of their surroundings with good sensors and good software. But a personal robot around the house, if he makes a mistake, somebody gets hurt. So, and we're going to expect a lot more of those kinds of robots too. So I don't agree with you on that. I think Apple needs to do this stepping stone technology first.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to decide what I really wanted to say, but... I don't want to crash at 70 miles an hour in a robot car, but I want a robot car. I also want to have a personal robot in my place. You know,
Growing up
with Star Wars.
Yep.
And seeing C-3PO and R2-D2 presented as people, that just became this thing. You know, when do we get to have our personal robots? And I want that in my future. I think that would be just so much fun, and I just like that idea. It's and John, I'm curious. Yeah. Do you want a robot? Because you do.
Oh okay. Yeah, absolutely. I've been a fan of this for a while, but I as I said, I think there's some legal cultural issues to work out. We don't want to rush into it too quickly, otherwise we're going to get Google Glassed with our robots. There's already been a series of articles about how robots are going to put people out of work, just any kind of manual labor job.
Heavily robotics is used in the manufacturing industry,
and it's going to expand to the point where you know pleasant looking robots at McDonald's are going to be, you know, serving you, and people are going to be all up in arms about robots putting them out of work. There's going to be cultural pushback. We're going to have to tiptoe through this very carefully.
Robots are already doing that.
They are, not in a way that's come to the social consciousness, the point where people are ready to
attack
and destroy robots. There was that robot that hitchhiked across Europe, and as soon as it got to the United States, somebody attacked it and left it by the roadside junked.
But
there's no widespread cultural hatred of robots that would nip this technology development in the bud.
No, but I think that there could be, and here's why. Because recently, you know the people who spin the signs? I've seen at least 3 different instances where somebody just took, like, it looks like a car battery and a little gear, like a circular gear on a post, and they've put the sign on that instead.
Oh, you mean the guys and girls that are doing the sign twirling?
Yeah, the sign spinners, like Big Hero 6. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen at least 3 instances where they're now being handled by robots. One of them was particularly clever and put a mannequin behind it so that from a distance it still looks like it's a person actually spinning the sign, but it's not a person spinning the sign. So they're coming now already.
Oh, Portland.
I know. When you think about like robots and stuff in, you know, doing jobs already, all I can think of is that Mac Pro production video that we saw when they first debuted the new model of the Mac Pro.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And how basically everything in my Twitter feed said, there were one of two reactions in all the people that I follow on Twitter. And the first was, OMG robot porn. And the second was, this is the best episode of How It's Made I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Like I was, and other people were saying, you know, it was all variations on a theme. I'm waiting to hear the narrator's voice from How It's Made, you know, like seriously, that was all it was. And it was, I mean, of course it was an Apple video, so it was amazing. But that's the kind of stuff that I think about, like when you think about how much technology is being manufactured right now, like a lot of that stuff, it's probably easier to have it handled in an automated fashion in some way.
We also have Roombas in people's homes.
I do like my Roomba.
And see, there you go. And
even though I haven't hacked it yet to be a Cylon, but I'm gonna.
Well, now you have a project for this holiday.
That's real. Kelly isn't kidding. There's an actual hack that makes the light on the front of the Roomba look like a Cylon, right?
Yeah, there's a little red LED that you can add to it, and it goes, and you can make it go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's really cool. Is there a speaker in the Roomba? I don't have one yet, but I really. Okay, so you could actually have your Roomba start saying, by your command.
I'm going to have to learn how to hack something electrical engineering-wise, aren't I?
Yes, you are. And once you get this sorted out, when you see the video, we are totally putting it online. Yeah. And now that I think about it, why don't I have a Roomba? It would be perfect for me. I mean, I have a cat.
Well, I was going to say, for you and the cat.
And I vacuum up a lot.
Yeah.
And it
comes in a pet flavor.
Yeah. So that would be perfect for me.
Just be careful it doesn't traumatize your cat. I know some cats are traumatized and some like to ride on top of it.
I was going
to
say.
I've seen those videos.
Yeah. She probably would be one of the ones who sits on top and rides it around the room.
I could totally see Nightshade doing that. She's a brave little toaster.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, we are getting close to being out of time.
Okay.
So there are other topics that I wanted to hit today, but I think we're just going to have to wrap up because we don't have time to hit the other stuff. So instead, what I'll say is yesterday's show where John and Brian and I talked about John Keats' article about the Mac Pro being a failure. That got quite a few comments, and there was quite a reaction to the piece, and it turns out that John Keats' schedule has worked out so that he can join Brian and me on Apple Context Machine this afternoon.
Excellent.
So we're doing a crossover episode of TMO Podcasts. And
it's a team-up.
It's totally a team up. So the follow up to yesterday's Mac Pro is a failure episode is going to be this afternoon, so Wednesday afternoon, on Apple Context Machine. So it'll be Brian and Brian Chaffin, me, and John Keat. So you have to watch for that. And we'll be referencing comments that you guys have made about yesterday's daily observations. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you guys like it too. All right. So with that, we really are out of time, and I'm really glad that everyone was able to join us today. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Of course, my pleasure. And I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I'm thankful for is that we get to do this show.
I'm thankful that we get to do the show, and I'm thankful, Kelly, that you are here, and also John that you get to join me too.
I'm sorry.
So are we
shocked? Oh, are you shocked that?
Well, I thought you were inviting me over for Thanksgiving dinner. I my mind was straying there for a second.
You know, you're welcome.
You don't get a bottle of bourbon anyway, so.
I see. I'm not sure how that happened. I gave you a bottle of bourbon.
I want more.
Oh, I see. And John, if you want to show up at the family Thanksgiving event that I'm going to be at, you are more than welcome. You probably will want to pick up that bottle of bourbon on the way.
At least one.
We invite our bachelor friends over for Thanksgiving, so I'll be tied up. bachelorettes and bachelors invited over here. So I'll be tied up. But I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving as well. All the best. And it's been a pleasure doing the show. And we'll see you Monday.
Yeah, you just wrapped up my show.
Okay. Bye, everyone. See ya.
Back to you, Jeff.
All right, I'm going to wrap up the show. Okay, here's how it really works. Kelly, John, thank you for being here today. You guys rock. Listeners, thank you for joining us again today. It's always great to have you here and to get your comments and feedback, so thank you for that. We're taking a couple days off, so enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to do the same here. We'll see everyone again next Monday.